You're listening to a message from Mercy Culture Church, home of Pastor Landon and Heather Schott in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information about Mercy Culture and ways that you can be a part of it, visit mercyculture.com.
We are in a season called the Holy Spirit, where we are highlighting the third person of the Trinity. This morning is part three of this series. We're beginning in Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. If you have your Bibles, turn there, or you can click to the notes, and it'll be sent to you. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, it says, "When the unclean spirit had gone out of a person, it passes through the waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. Then it says, I will return to my house." Someone say, "My house." "From which I came, and when it comes, it will find the house empty or unoccupied, swept and put in order." Verse 45. "Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there." Someone say, "Dwell there." "And the last state of the person is worse than the first. So also will it be for this evil generation." The title of this message is "Holy Spirit Come, Part 3, the Holy Spirit comes where he is welcomed." Let's welcome the Holy Spirit this morning. So Holy Spirit, we just say that you are welcome in this place. We declare no spirit, but the Holy Spirit is welcome here. We say fear, you have to go. Anxiety, you have to go. Infirmity, you have to go. Sickness, you have to go. And we say, Holy Spirit, come, have your way. We don't make room for you. We give you the room. We declare, do whatever you want to do. Say whatever you want to say. We're going to get out of your way. This is yours. This church is yours. We are yours. We say, have your way. Now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would breathe upon the word. I pray your word, your logos word, would become alive. It would become rhema. Lord, we pray that you'd give us ears to hear what your Spirit is saying, hearts to receive, minds to understand. Lord, nobody came to hear me. We all came to hear you. So we say, speak, Lord. So we say, speak, Lord. Come on, online campus. We say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And all God's people said amen and amen. Quick recap. Part one of the Holy Spirit series, we entitled it, "He's a Holy Spirit." And in order to know the Holy Spirit, you have to know holiness. Part two, last week, Heather preached an amazing word called birthing reformation. What is conceived with the Holy Spirit is made holy. This morning is part three, Holy Spirit come. The Holy Spirit comes where he is welcomed. Now, we've said Holy Spirit about 20 times already in the last 2 minutes, and I'm talking about the third person of the Trinity, where God is both one and triune. The Bible testifies that there's only one God, and he has eternally existed in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people talk about Father God, especially if you get in any kind of prayer circles. Father God, Father God, Father God, Father God. There's a lot of Father Gods. In Jesus, anyone have a Father God jar? You know, where you save money every time someone says Father God? And then Jesus, you can't deny his existence. But the Holy Spirit is the least welcomed person, the least acknowledged person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. And it's amazing how we build our churches for everyone and everything but the Holy Spirit. Heather and I had no interest in senior pastoring. And the reason why we didn't want a senior pastor is because the model of church that we saw was a church that was built around a man or a personality, sometimes an ego, rather than a church that was built around the presence of God. And so we just rejected it. We resisted it because I hadn't seen that model until the Holy Spirit told us to build a church around him. And then all of a sudden we were excited. I was like, whoa, 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 a church that's built around the presence of God. No, no, forget even pastoring that. I just want to be a part of that. That's something I just want to just be a part. I would be a doorkeeper in that kind of house. I just want to be a part of a church that was built around the presence of God. And so that is the question that began this entire church as we begin to ask the Holy Spirit, what do you want? Because the only church I want to be at is a church that the Holy Spirit's at. So Holy Spirit, show us what you want. How do you want this built? What do you want us to do in tithes and offerings? What do you want us to do in worship? What do you want us to do with children's ministry and youth ministry and small groups? You know how we started our small groups? We are in a worship service with 14 of us in a house in Fort Worth renting it in 2017. And I had a vision of houses on fire all over Fort Worth. And the Holy Spirit said, those are small groups. So I was like, all right, I guess we're having small groups. Our house is on fire. We had no idea that in 2020, COVID-19 would come and shut down church services as we know it, and houses on fire is what was going to sustain a community. I'm sure glad we asked the Holy Spirit what he wanted, amen? I love the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is how you encounter God. The Bible says that God is in heaven, Father's in heaven. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. He said, I'm going to send you my spirit. I have to go so he could come. So guess what? When you hear the voice of God, guess whose voice you're hearing? Holy Spirit's voice. When you feel the presence of God, when you're in worship services and you're crying and dancing and your flag hits someone and your tambourine is, no tambourines. Pastor Jasmine Tate, no tambourines. That's where we draw the line. But when you got goosebumps and you walk in and you're like, oh, what? You know, I'm feeling something here. Do you know what you're feeling? The Holy Spirit. People come and say, this place feels different. It's because we've welcomed the Holy Spirit since we began, and we didn't do it one time. Do it constantly. Every single day on the Trinity Trail, I run and pray and say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in Fort Worth. This is your city. In fact, they named the river after you. They named the trail after you. Every time I take a step praying in the Holy Ghost. You know why I pray in the Holy Ghost? Because God speaks to you when you speak to him in his language. Holy Spirit, come, have your way. And we started just saying, whoa. I feel fear. Whoa, fear, go. No, fear, you got to go. Holy Spirit, you come. No, fear, you have to go. Anxiety, you have to go. Witchcraft, you have to go. Jezebel, you have to go. No, Holy Spirit. So we just started saying, fear, go. Holy Spirit, come. We start saying it over and over. And then someone's like, we should write it on the building. I'm like, why not? And we put on flags and someone put it on a t-shirt and putting it all over this place. Listen, over and over saying, fear, go. Holy Spirit, come. In fact, we're in a prayer time. We don't just do this on Sunday mornings. We do this all the time. Our staff does it constantly. Every single time we meet, we pray this prayer. And our staff was praying, and all of a sudden I heard the Holy Spirit say, I want to be welcome in more churches than just Mercy Culture. And then I saw a vision of people who were on COVID-19 shutdown, and they came back to their home church. And when they came back to the home church, the Holy Spirit was waiting for them. So we got an amazing intercessors team, Jim and Sue Ann and the entire team. We love you, Jim. You're at home. We just declare right now supernatural healing in Jesus' name to Jen Wingate. And everyone in agreement said amen. Amen. Come on, they leverage their intimacy for this church. Say, in Jesus' name, you're healed, Jim. So I asked Jim and Sue Ann and the intercessors, I said, would you guys just start walking around churches and welcoming the Holy Spirit in churches all over the city? They said, sure. They start sending me pictures. I don't know if we have any of those pictures, but they started sending me pictures of about 30 different churches that they walked around in the last week or so, our intercessory prayer team just welcoming the Holy Spirit. What would happen if you walked around your property of your home and just welcomed the Holy Spirit? What would happen if you walked around your child's school and welcomed the Holy Spirit? What would happen if you walked around the courthouse downtown and just started welcoming the Holy Spirit? Come on, you want to see justice in the land? Why don't you become a spiritual activist and start declaring his righteousness and his justice in our land? When we're praying, Holy Spirit, come, what we're praying is come with your perfect will. When we're praying, we give you the room. What we're saying is you have access and dominion and authority to every sphere that we're in. We pray this constantly. We say it all the time. Say it with me. Fear, go. Holy Spirit, come. Felt the Lord want me to remind you that fear is a lying spirit. Fear is a demonic, foul spirit. Let me show you in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 1:7, it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear." Is it up on the screen? Look what it says. God, text notes, so go to your phone. God has not given us a spirit of fear, it says. Scripture calls fear, not a feeling, a spirit. It is a lying, foul, false Holy Spirit that mimics the actions of the Holy Spirit. Fear talks to you like the Holy Spirit talks. Fear has a presence like the Holy Spirit has a presence. Fear is a liar. And fear will give you confirmation to the perfect will of God. It's really important that you have people in your life that is iron that sharpens iron. If you haven't developed that in your spouse relationship, repent to each other and then start developing that. I was laying in bed and I told my wife, I said, this is a lie I keep hearing in my head. And I told her that lie. And she goes, "Well, that's confirmation." And I said, "What?" She goes, "That lie is just confirming what God is saying over us." See, when you start walking in the perfect will of God, the enemy will start speaking against that perfect will, confirming the perfect will. And I felt in my spirit that I was supposed to encourage you to break your partnerships with the spirit of fear. Mercy culture, God will not honor any fear-based decisions. Oh, I gotta do this. I gotta sell my house. I don't know what to do. Any fear-based decisions, God's not gonna honor. Because you're not being led by his spirit, you're being led by a foul demonic spirit. And some of us can hear the demon's voice of fear better than we can hear the Holy Spirit's voice. But I got good news for you. If you can hear a demon's voice of fear, you can hear the Holy Spirit's voice. Just start doing the opposite of what the spirit of fear says. I felt in my spirit that fear was trying to creep back into the congregation of Mercy Culture Church. I came to tell you, it's not enough to say fear go. There's another part to that prayer. And that's Holy Spirit come. There must be a greater spirit that occupies that seat. You ever play that game Musical Chairs as a kid? And you're running around to a chair, and you're not allowed to sit in a chair that someone else is occupying. You have to get fear off the throne of your life by letting a higher power begin to occupy that seat. Come on, someone say, fear go. Holy Spirit come. Holy Spirit come. What happens when the Holy Spirit comes? When the Holy Spirit comes, he occupies the place of fear so it can't get back in. And what I saw in the spirit as I prayed over this congregation this week, you declared fear to go, but fear is coming back. Or fear has come back. This morning I wanted to talk about placing the Holy Spirit in the seat of authority in your life so that fear has nowhere to come back to. Can I get an amen? John 16:7, Jesus talking, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage," or "it is better for you that I go. For if I do not go, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you." That word helper in the Greek is, he comes to help, to assist, to serve, to minister, to advocate, his personal intercessor. An intercessor uses their personal intimacy, their personal relationship with God on behalf of someone else. God says, "I am going to use the relationship I have within my Trinity for your behalf." You know what's powerful when you're going through something and someone texts you or calls you or lets you know, "Hey, I'm praying for you right now." You know, yeah, you kind of feel good about it. You're like, "Oh, that's awesome. You know, someone's praying for me." You know, it's just that, like, kind of that charge of faith. How about when God prays for you? Holy Spirit is the greatest intercessor. And he prays for you. In fact, when you pray in tongues, you guys join in intercession together. I'm going to tell you three things this morning, and there's not three things, there's many things. There's nine gifts of the Spirit. There's nine fruit of the Spirit. There's so many things that comes when the Holy Spirit comes. But this morning, based on John 16, I'm going to give you three things the Holy Spirit comes with. So when the Holy Spirit comes, according to John 16, verse 8, it says this. It says, and when he comes, he will convict or rebuke or convince the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. But when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Someone say all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whoever hears, he will speak. He will declare to you the things that are to come, and he will glorify me. Someone say glorify me. For he will take what is mine, declare it to you. Three things the Lord, the Holy Spirit comes with is number one, the Holy Spirit comes with conviction. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict or rebuke or convince the world concerning sin. Conviction means this. It means closer intimacy with the Lord. It means this, more of him. I find myself praying and singing constantly, Lord, I want more. I want more. And sometimes I pray it like this. I want as much as I can handle. And when I'm praying for more of God, what I'm really praying for is intimacy. Conviction is what grants you that intimacy. Now watch. Conviction is the Holy Spirit convincing you of sin, not some person convincing you of sin. You ever have the person that's trying to convince you of tattoos? Trying to convince you not eat certain foods? You know what I'm talking about? Convincing you that you got baptized wrong? All the different, come on, you know what I'm talking about? All the convincing out there? Listen, like that's condemnation. That's not conviction. The conviction is the conviction of the Holy Spirit, where he speaks to the hearts of man. Watch, let me tell you about conviction. This is what conviction is. See, the church has confused conviction and condemnation. Conviction is the awareness of current or present sin that grieves the Holy Spirit and creates separation of the relationship of intimacy. So you have to be aware that the person of the Holy Spirit can be grieved. And your sin is what grieves the Holy Spirit. People say, well, I thought that God's love was always there no matter what, and his love never ran out. No, his love never runs out. His love will never leave you, but his presence will. Because it's you're going to engage in sin, what's going to happen is there's going to be a grieving of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will not participate in your sin. Paul talks about being with a prostitute. And he said, will God join together in this? He said, absolutely not. He won't engage in this kind of sin or immorality. Listen, when you go to engage in sin, you leave your intimacy with the Holy Spirit in order to do so. So what we've done in the church is we've stopped talking about all sin so no one gets their feelings hurt and everybody feels okay. Because in fact, we've built our churches for everybody to be comfortable. Are you comfortable here? How's those pews? They feel good? Is it okay? Is the air conditioning enough? Did you like the music? Because all this is for you. When we're singing, it's for God. It's really not for him. It's really for you. We want you to feel good. We want you to feel safe. In fact, we're not going to talk about anyone's sin because we don't want anyone to feel uncomfortable. We'd rather have thousands of people come in here and do nothing . In fact, if you feel too comfortable in church, there might be something wrong. I don't know about you, but the closer I get with God, the more uncomfortable he makes me feel. As soon as I feel like I got to a point, all of a sudden he tells me to give up something I didn't want to give up. He tells me to fast to a degree I didn't want to fast. He tells me to give something I didn't feel like giving. He tells me to go to a level of generosity that's uncomfortable for me. He tells me to go to somebody I don't like and say something I don't want to say. He'll have me do something I don't want to do. And watch, my closeness or my intimacy is on the line. You don't get to this relationship with God, and then all of a sudden, oh, this is so easy. Oh, this is so awesome. This is so relaxing. I'm just gonna sit here and wait till heaven. You're in the wrong church. Jesus paid too high of a price for you to wait till you get to heaven. So what we've done is we stopped talking about everyone's sin, and so that nobody has to feel convicted so we could all be comfortable. And as soon as a pastor goes and touches on something you don't want to touch him on, all of a sudden, he's judging me. I don't know your name. How did I judge you? I just said you should stop sleeping with that person you're not married to. Well, we're married in God's eyes. You're fornicating in God's eyes, and that's why he wrote it in his book. Here's the problem with that is you're making a covenant of flesh before a covenant of spirit. And that relationship will give birth to things of the flesh and not of the spirit unless it dies. And God resurrects it. Can I tell you why I don't drink? Drinking is not a sin. Being drunk is. I was reading this morning in my daily Bible reading plan of how wine is a mocker and beer is a brawler. It's amazing how many people say things they shouldn't say, do things they shouldn't do, and things they regret because they drank a little too much. It's usually where someone's toes got stepped on. They're like, well, Jesus drank. I'd encourage you as your pastor, or maybe I'm not your pastor, but I would encourage you regardless, try not to only compare yourself to Jesus when you're drinking. Why don't you compare yourself to Jesus when you're fasting or not fasting? Why don't you compare yourself to Jesus when you're forgiving or not forgiving? Why don't you compare yourself to Jesus when you're giving, when you lay down your life, when you prefer one another, when you serve someone besides yourself? Then go ahead and just start that comparison. How about we say these things? Young people, you want to destroy your relationship? Sleep with each other before you're married. You'll destroy everyone that you get into till you learn to do it God's way. But we love each other. Well, no, you lust each other. And lust is a feeling, love is a choice. But what we don't talk about sin in the church anymore because we want you to feel comfortable. Turn to your neighbor and say, are you comfortable? Come on, why you're social distancing and everything? Are you comfortable? I hope you're not. Because when you're uncomfortable in the spirit, it's usually the Lord pushing you, provoking you, positioning you to be used by him. Do you know a group of gay activists got together and they rewrote a Bible and they took every scripture, there were six of them, they took the six scriptures that directly spoke against the practice of homosexual practice and they took it out of the Bible and they renamed it the Queen James Bible. So that no one would feel convicted when they read it. But there is one verse they forgot to take out, and it was the book in the back, in the last book of Revelation, where it says, if you add to this book or take away from this book, you get the curses in this book. It's easy to clap when your pastor talks about gay activism, but what about your pornography? That is the coals on the fire to human trafficking. There would be no need for it if there wasn't a thirst for it. See, it's much easier if we just have an awareness one day, post on your social media, abolish human trafficking, while I'm contributing to the source of it. Are you uncomfortable yet? See, what conviction does is it speaks to your heart. Condemnation speaks to your behavior. Condemnation says, if you behave this way, you can be good enough for God to love you. Newsflash, none of us are good enough for God to love us. It's His mercy, His undeserved kindness. Guys, on our best day, we're not good enough. It's just by His mercy and grace. Condemnation tries to bring up your past to leverage intimacy of today. Conviction brings up your sin today to leverage your intimacy of today. Conviction is the Holy Spirit speaking. Condemnation is men speaking. Pay attention to the conviction that you feel. And don't be used of the enemy to bring condemnation to someone else's life. Let me help you. You got people in your life that are in sin? Okay? Show them what God's word says and pray for them. Leave it alone. You're not going to win it in your Facebook battle. Leave it alone. Look, and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to them. Some of the greatest discussions Heather and I have ever been in. Wait. Don't judge me. Don't judge us. I'm like, Lord, she's being a brat. Talk to her. And then you start speaking to me. Too many women said amen. Way too many. Lord, talk to her. Then he starts speaking to me. Can I give you awesome scripture? Take the plank out of your eye. Before you start firing away on someone's obvious sin that they have in their life, say, Lord, search my heart for anything in me. Conviction draws you closer to God. Condemnation pushes you away. Number two, the Holy Spirit comes in truth. John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whoever He hears, whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. Mercy Culture Church, truth brings freedom and deliverance. When the Holy Spirit comes, He brings freedom and deliverance. John 4, 24, God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. There's a Greek word called sozo, which means deliverance. And it's the process of exposing the lies of the enemy. So, some practical advice. When the enemy lies to you, you replace the lie from the enemy with the truth of God's word. So when the enemy tells you God doesn't love you anymore, or that you've committed a sin, and usually people, you know, the enemy tells you you've committed the unpardonable sin, the unforgivable sin, and you're like, I've committed it. Pastor, it's the unforgivable one. It's the greatest one, the granddaddy of all sins. Can I tell you what the greatest granddaddy of all sins is? It's just the sin that you didn't repent of. The unpardonable blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is that you hold on to your sin till your last breath. It doesn't matter what you did. Scripture says all has fallen short of the glory of God. No, you don't understand. I have blasphemed the Holy Spirit. I can assure you, if you think you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit, you have it because your heart's not seared enough to do so. Listen, here's this gospel. It's not that complicated. And religious people try to complicate simple truths in order to feel superior over other people. Listen, we are wretched sinners. He's a perfect Savior. He traded us our unrighteousness for His righteousness. And if we have faith in Jesus, He will restore us to our state of righteousness in Him. It is not that complicated. But you have these religious people that want to confuse everybody with big words and things that they don't understand to make you feel this big so that you can be manipulated. Well, hold on a second. Were they wearing a towel when they baptized you? Were you baptized in the Son's name or Jesus' name? was it a capital J or a lowercase j? Because if it was a lowercase j, that is heresy, and you got to do everything all over again. Come on, how many have met these people? I got news for you. The thief on the cross wasn't baptized at all. He was a sinner hanging next to Jesus, and he said, "Help!" Now you should be baptized. The Bible teaches us to be baptized. It's a great thing to do. It's a public declaration of your faith. It's a wonderful thing. But some religious person will try to twist it upside down and inside out. Oh, you made that up. That was a fake tongue. I discerned it. I heard a sha-ta-ta-ta-ta. I watched a YouTube video where they broke down the sha-ta-ta-ta-ta. It came from an Indonesian tribe called the Shatati. And what it really means is, "I serve Lord Satan." And then you're like, "Pastor, I said Shatata. I need a sozo." And you let some religious person work you up when you just love Jesus. Can I help you? When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes in freedom and truth. Hear me. Be free. Don't get me wrong. Don't beat people with your flags in the aisle, but be free. Who's having a good time in church today? We love you, online campus. Don't let religious people talk you out of God moving. You know what I'm sick of? I'm sick of people telling me how God doesn't move. How about you tell me how he does through your intimacy that you don't have? Now, don't get me wrong. We have some intellectualists in here that you encounter God through learning things about him, and it blows your minds and you love it. Look, that's great. Just don't use it to think that your relationship with that knowledge that the Holy Spirit showed you is better than someone else here bawling on the carpet. Can I get an amen? Amen. If you want to grow in your understanding of God's word, read your Bible. Mine was just blown. You know, I get asked on Tuesday Q&A all the time, "What book should I read about the book of Revelation?" The book of Revelation. No, but I really want someone to tell me what the author is saying instead of just reading the author. Let me help you young people. Read the Bible more than you read books about the Bible. Ask the author. He'll tell you. Holy Spirit wrote it. Number three, the Holy Spirit comes with glory. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine. Someone just said so much material for the meme page. It just popped up on my iPad. It's completely inappropriate, whoever's posting that. Putting our media team on blast. John 16:14, "He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Our friend Corey Russell says, "Glory is his innermost nature, or the weight of his manifest presence." 2 Corinthians 3:18, he shared this when he was here. "And we with unveiled faces, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree to glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is spirit." My definition of the glory is his tangible presence or the displayed holy place. Let me tell you what the glory is. The glory is when heaven begins to invade earth. People say these things and we don't know what they mean. Let me tell you what it means. When the spirit realm begins to manifest or invade the natural realm, that's when you're partaking, that's when you're experiencing the glory of the Lord. When your flesh, oh, this is so good. Do you know you can live in the glory realm every day? By letting your spirit lead you instead of your flesh lead you. You can encounter the tangible presence of God on a daily basis. What I like to do is when I feel the glory, I like to kneel. I do it on purpose, and I do it when I'm on the Trinity Trail. I do it when I'm in church services, wherever I am, because I want to acknowledge when heaven has invaded earth. There's a difference between the holy place and the most holy place. The glory is when the spirit begins to dominate the flesh. I gotta hurry. So let me recap these three real fast. Conviction is closer intimacy. Thank you. Truth is freedom and deliverance. And glory is heaven invading earth. Say those one more time. Intimacy, freedom and deliverance, and heaven invading earth. So my question is, who wouldn't want this? The answer, demons. So when religious spirits try to resist the Holy Spirit, you know they are being influenced by demons. Because the only things that doesn't want this is demonic activity. Look at Matthew chapter 12, our text again. Verse 43 says this. When the unclean spirit had gone out of a person, it passes through the waterless places seeking rest, but finds none. When it says, I will return to my house from which I came, and when it comes, it finds the house empty, swept, and put in order. Then it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and dwell there. The last state of the person is worse than the first. So also will it be for this evil generation. The scripture says it's unclean spirits. In the Greek, unclean spirit is the Greek word akathartos, which means a demonic spirit or a demon. This demon was impure, or that it literally translates to mean a wrong mix. It's unclean by sin. I'll put it like this. You ever put the wrong wash together, and it could just be one red sock, but the one red sock is the wrong mix for that batch, and it affects everything. Scripture talks about a little leaven leavens the whole much. That's why that conviction is so important. This spirit was the wrong demonic mix. It was a foul demon. And the Bible says that it had gone out. That word gone out means not of his own accord or willingly, but compelled by a stronger force. So this man received deliverance, where he was delivered from a stronger force. If you're new to Mercy Culture Church, I did a series on principalities when we were back in Pasco High School. It's on the podcast. It's on the YouTube. Go back and watch it. And I list four principalities that the Lord showed me over the city of Fort Worth. And when you're dealing in spiritual warfare, how you unseat principalities is not by foolishly and loosely taking them head on, but it's unseating them by lifting up the highest power, which is Jesus. So Jesus is the highest power. There's a higher power than any unclean spirit, and they were cast out. Someone say, fear, go. Say, demons, go. Say, witchcraft, go. But if you kick them out and don't replace them, they will come back. The Bible says, watch, that the demons, when they're not in people's homes or in their lives, they go to dry places, according to verse 43. The dry places are barren, dreary, desolated, or places with no water. Listen, they go to desert regions. They used to believe that in the deserts around Jerusalem were the places where demonic forces inhabit. So there's actually scriptures in the Old Testament, I don't have it memorized where they talked about these demons that dance in these barren places. That demons make a home in the desert, or they make a home in the place where there's no water. We know in scripture that water represents word and water represents spirit. Watch, demons go where there's no word and where there's no spirit. Demons constantly are wandering in the homes and in the lives where there's no word and there's no spirit. That's why we have a 15-minute plan and a 30-minute cast them devils out plan. Listen, that's why we're constantly promoting reading God's word. Do you know why? Because if you just read that word out loud, demons don't want to come near your car. They don't want to come near your room. I don't care how demon-possessed your roommate is. That demon won't want to come in your room when the word is constantly being declared. And it says this, in the desert, there's no fruit. Demons occupy fruitless places. Let me ask you this question. Is there spiritual fruit in your life? Or do you have no fruit, so you have to call something that's not fruit, fruit? We see a lot of this in the church. We, I just got a new house. It's fruit. It's not a new house. It's not fruit. It's a new house. It's a bigger house with more rooms in it. Got 4-car garage. More garage room for demons to inhabit. That's not fruit. But because we don't have spiritual fruit, we're forced to substitute and call things that we can buy spiritual fruit. You might just be a better steward with money. Can I tell you what fruit is, love? Joy, peace, patience. Your kids can teach you these. Goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. So watch, when I don't have the fruit of self-control, I have to talk about my new toy. Don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with having nice stuff. God's not against that. God blesses his servants. Abraham was blessed. God's people were blessed. It's not about that. But I want you blessed with spiritual fruit. I want you to prosper as your soul prospers. I don't want to have to lean on carnal, temporary things that could be blown away by wind, tornadoes, disease, plague. Listen, I want you to have the things that no man can steal, no demonic force can steal. I want you to prosper and be in good health as your soul prospers, according to the book of John. Listen, the demons go in places where there's no word, where there's no spirit, where there's no fruit. Here's what he said. Look at this. I will return, verse 44, to my house. Demons call you their houses when they're welcome there. The demon found rest, or he was welcome in the house. Don't want anyone to feel condemned. Nobody's judging anybody. I'm a pastor. It's my job to teach the word. But your sin creates a welcome mat for demonic presence. Netflix welcomes demons. That spirit of lust that comes through the airwaves welcomes demons. Some of you, your stinking phone brings demons right to your hand. Some of you, it's your mouth, your gossip. Some of you are like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not immoral. I'm not a drunk like all those people. But in your heart, you hate everybody. Prejudice, pride, hatred. Some people just aren't kind. If we drove in the car with you along I-35, we would see the fruit that you really have. I just felt demons scatter right there, like cockroaches, like cockroaches. Two people got baptized in the Holy Ghost right there, I think. The demon called the man his home, because he was welcome there. And then the scripture goes on to say, watch, and he dwelled where he was welcome. Worship team, come and join me. Look what the Message translation says here with Matthew 12. That's what this generation is like. You may think you have cleaned out the junk from your lives and gotten ready for God, but you weren't hospitable to my kingdom message. And now all the devils are moving back in. Demons were welcome in his life, so the demons dwelled in his life. Here's what I came to tell you this morning. The spirit you continually welcome will be the spirit that makes a home in your life. And you can say fear go, but if your behavior welcomes it back in, it will make a home in your life. You could say perversion go, but if your behavior welcomes him back, he'll make a home in your life. The Bible says this demon was cast out. But he came back. And there was nothing there that took his place. Could you imagine if these demons, all seven of them, came back and the Holy Spirit answered the door? David took out Goliath with a sling and a stone, but he had more rocks because Goliath had brothers. You can say fear go, and I want you to, but I saw in the spirit this week fear trying to keep you from possessing all God that has for you. I saw the spirit of fear trying to creep back in. I tell you what I saw. I saw the spirit of fear trying to keep you from being in this house. Fear go. Can I give you some practical pastoring advice real fast? Whenever you get stuck on something, or you don't know what to do, stop and ask the Holy Spirit. I was in my office writing. I got these whiteboards and I just scribble chicken scratch. I just write down things as the Holy Spirit begins to tell me. And then whenever I get stuck, I just ask the Holy Spirit. I literally just write it down. And I wrote on the board in my office this week. I said, Holy Spirit, what causes you to stay? We welcome you all the time. How do I get you to stay? Not that you get or control God to do anything, but I don't want you to leave me. Then I wrote underneath it, and I do this every time, speak, Lord. Because I expect him to talk to me. Because it's easy to hear God when you're in his presence. And I was running this morning on the Trinity Trail, praying in the Holy Ghost. Because God speaks to you when you pray in the Holy Ghost. And I heard the Lord say, you want me to answer your question? I'm like, yeah. I love it when he brings stuff up to me. People ask me all the time, what should I talk to the Holy Spirit about? Ask him what he wants to talk about. He said, you want me to tell you? I'm like, yes, tell me. Like, you could have told me 3 days ago, but I'm gonna have to text the media team. I knew, no, tell me. He said, I stay when I'm the owner. I was reminded, Pastor Bob, when I walked around this facility for 40 days praying and fasting, Pastor, every single day I prayed the same prayer. I kneeled at that overpass up there. And I said, Lord, if you give it to me, I'll give it back to you and I'll never own it. It will never be mine. It will always be yours. Do you know when COVID-19 happened? The first Tuesday I came in the office and I'm pulling up to this massive facility smiling from ear to ear. And Pastor Steve, as I was pulling up to the property, I said, I'm so glad I don't own this. I am so glad this is not my responsibility. I said, God, I didn't even know what I was doing. I just knew I couldn't take it. It had to be yours. I never freaked out one time. Because it's His. You know what causes you to freak out in life? You know what causes you to worry? You know what causes you to fret? You know what causes your concern? You know what causes your anxiety? Your life. But when it's His, you don't have to worry about anything. He provides for the birds, He'll provide for you. Watch. When it's not your bank account, but it's His. When it's not your house, it's His. When it's not your kids, it's His. When it's not your marriage, it's His. Listen, when it doesn't belong to you, but it belongs to Him. Listen, when He is the owner, that is the place He dwells. Let me ask you a question. Have you welcomed a visitor called the Holy Spirit? Or is your temple a home for Him? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Some of you love the Lord, but He's not the owner of your life. Some of you, fear owns you. Some of you, your job owns you. Some of you, money owns you. Some of you, this compulsion to please people own you. I came to ask you today, what spirit have you made welcome? And if you want the Holy Spirit to make a home in your life, He has to be the owner. If you would say, Landon, I want Jesus to be the owner. I want the Holy Spirit to have full authority. You know what the Lord spoke to me this week? This is what happened in the garden. This is why we say we don't make room for you. We give you the room. Because Adam did not give God the whole garden. He made room, but there was that one tree he kept for himself. That one thing he kept. What are you holding on to in your life, keeping for yourself? Today is the day to make Him the highest authority, the highest power. Today is the day to grant Him full access to every part of you, every thought, every action, everything you own, all that you are, your hopes, your dreams, your past, your present, your future, everything that you are. Today's the day to make Him Lord of all. If you would say, Landon, not only do I want to give my life to Jesus, not only do I want to commit my life to Jesus, but I want to welcome the Holy Spirit to a degree I give Him ownership. I give Him complete access. I give Him all access. I give Him all authority to every part of me. I don't want to own my life. I want Him to own it. I wanted you be my life to be used for His glory. I want the Holy Spirit to come with His conviction, with His true freedom and deliverance, with His glory, power, and presence. If that's you, I want you to stand to your feet all over this place and lift both your
your hands to heaven. If you're watching online, click on that prayer button right now and say, that's me, Pastor. That's me. I want to give God everything. I want the Holy Spirit to make a home in me. Lift your hands as high as they can go. And I want you to say this out loud for your own two ears to hear it. Say, fear go.
Fear go.
Holy Spirit, come.
Holy Spirit, come.
Say, Jesus.
Jesus.
Forgive me.
Forgive me.
Say it louder, church. Jesus.
Jesus.
Forgive me.
Forgive
come on, say it at home if you're watching online. Jesus,
Jesus,
forgive me.
Forgive me.
Today,
today,
I serve you.
I serve you.
I give you authority.
I give you authority.
I give you the deed to my heart.
I give you the deed to
forgive
my heart.
Me of all of my sins.
Forgive me of all of my sins.
Wash me.
Wash me.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Come on, here's where it gets good. Say, Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Fill me.
Fill me.
Take residency.
Take residence.
Wash me.
Wash me.
Cleanse me.
Cleanse me.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Tell him my life is not mine.
My life is not.
I give it to you.
I give it to
come
you.
On, someone give Jesus the deed right now. Give the Holy Spirit the deed. Come on, say have your way.
Have your way.
Say Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Come.
Come.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Come.
Come.
Have your way.
Have your way.
Come on, lift your hands as high as they go.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Mercy Culture Church. If this podcast has blessed you, we'd like to encourage you to share it with a friend. To learn more about us, find us on social media and online at mercyculture.com.